Starting about 10 years ago, TiVo changed the way that many people watch television. Now about one-third of American households can pause their live TVs, record multiple shows at once, and skip through commercials. TiVo wants to change TV watching again by selling a box that would draw video from cable, broadcast, internet streams, and downloads all in one place. Nate DeMeo reports.
You know House, the TV show, Cranky Doctor? Well, you can watch House a ton of different ways. You can watch it live.
28-year-old female, sudden unexplained coagulopathy.
Congenital thrombocytopenia.
Platelets look normal.
You can record it.
28-year-old female, sudden unexplained coagulopathy.
You can stream it or download it onto your computer. And you can watch all of that House right in your own house on your own TV. If you're tech-savvy enough and wealthy enough and patient enough and good enough at keeping lots of wires and remote control straight. Or, says TiVo's Joe Miller, you can buy a TiVo Premiere.
Your TiVo would find you House that's on broadcast, House if it's in syndication, all of the past seasons that might be on Amazon or might be on other services.
And he says it'll find any House that's on YouTube or let you listen to the House soundtrack through a music service. And it will play it all on your TV with one box and one set of wires and one remote.
Think of it as kind of the Google of television.
Which is, of course, a big claim. But whether this particular product can deliver on it or not, the two companies do share a distinction. Like Google, TiVo not only gave the world a new technology, it also gave it a new verb. As in, did you catch Idol last night? No, I TiVo'd it. But unlike Googling, the vast majority of TiVoing doesn't occur while using an actual TiVo. And that's a problem for the company. James McQuivey is an analyst at Forrester Research. He says there are about 1.5 million TiVo brand digital video recorders in American living rooms right now.
There are, meanwhile, another 30 million people in the U.S. who have some kind of DVR, and that's a hard reality for TiVo to face when they essentially invented the category.
People love DVRs. They love being able to pause and rewind live TV, zip through commercials. And ever since the cable and satellite companies started making their own boxes, McQuivey says TiVo has found it hard to find new customers.
A basic DVR made by a cable company or offered by a cable company is so much better than what you have when you don't have any DVR at all. You know, it's a little bit like making it just outside the gates of heaven, and it's so pleasant and warm that you don't realize that just a couple steps away, there's even a better experience to be had.
He says TiVo's new product faces new challenges. The current video landscape is intimidating. There are already so many gadgets that do parts of what TiVo's new one is promising to do. You could buy a Roku or a Vudu or a Sling box or any number of other boxes. Even if the TiVo Premiere is the one gadget to rule them all, Lord of the Rings style, he says it's expensive and daunting all on its own.
If they're going to solve all of your video problems, it means it's going to be, by definition, hard to install. So there's a big upfront hurdle of price and hassle.
Which may be a lot to ask people to do when the whole point of the thing is to eliminate hassles. Even if the TiVo Premiere is the Google of TV, it may be hard to convince people that there isn't a better box coming just down the road. In fact, Google is supposedly working on a set-top box of its own, which just might be the Google of TV. For NPR News, I'm Nate DeMeo.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Dave Davies in for Terry Gross. This weekend, HBO premieres Tremé, the new dramatic series from David Simon, who also created The Wire. That ambitious dramatic series was all about Baltimore, its citizens, its politics, and its problems. For Tremé, Simon and co-creator Eric Overmyer head further south to New Orleans. On today's show, we'll speak with both Simon and Overmyer. But first, a preview of Tremé from our TV critic, David Bianculli.
The first thing you see at the beginning of Tremé are the superimposed words that define the setting for this New Orleans drama, 3 months after. It doesn't say after what, and it doesn't have to. It's 2005, 3 months after Hurricane Katrina. And the residents and the buildings that are left are both extremely tough and extremely fragile. They include college professor Creighton Burnett, played by John Goodman, who is called upon to give voice to the people, as in this interview with a visiting British TV journalist who takes Burnett out to a levee to film him. But even with the professor's young daughter watching off camera, he can't talk long about the flood without having his own temper rise.
The explosion people heard was actually an unsecured barge ramming into the canal wall, not dynamite.
People think there was a conspiracy to breach the levees.
To what end? Drown 80% of the city? And whose interest was that? Why displace so many working class folks, black and white? It makes no sense.
Are you saying this was a natural disaster, pure and simple?
A natural disaster.
A hurricane is.
What hit the Mississippi Gulf Coast was a natural disaster, a hurricane, pure and simple. The flooding of New Orleans was a man-made catastrophe, a federal up of epic proportions and decades in the making.
Daddy.
We can edit that out, no worries.
The levees were not...
In the opening credits, we see the interiors and exteriors of building after building, all of them discolored by flood markings. The characters in Tremé have been marked just as clearly, but they're all determined to move ahead and reclaim their lives and their city. And while the location shooting in New Orleans is an absolute necessity to the success of Tremé, that was no guarantee of success. Shortly after Katrina, the Fox network gave us Kayville, a short-lived drama that filmed in the Gulf but never captured it. Tremé does capture it beautifully by being understated, by letting the beauty and the devastation, the music and the eerie silences bump up against one another constantly. And the secret weapon of this show is its cast. It may take a while to get to know these characters because we're thrown into their world without explanation or apology. But because of their past TV roles, we're already on their side and ready to go. John Goodman may be the most prominent name here, with decades of goodwill, but he's by no means alone. His wife, attorney Toni Burnett, is played by Melissa Leo from Homicide: Life on the Street. Kim Dickens, who plays a struggling restaurant owner named Jeanette, played prostitute Joni Stubbs on Deadwood. And lots of the players come from what might be called the David Simon Repertory Company. Wendell Pierce and Clark Peters from The Wire, Candy Alexander from The Corner. Pierce, who played Bunk on The Wire, has one of the juiciest roles here as a trombone player named Antoine Batiste. But every character and every actor is excellent. It's the sign of a great TV series when you don't care which characters are on screen because you're interested in them all. And very quickly, Tremé establishes itself as that type of series. Best of all, perhaps, is what it does with the music. Without getting sappy or preachy about it, Tremé demonstrates early and often how organic music is to the culture of New Orleans. Real-life musicians like Dr. John and Elvis Costello make the rounds in the recording studios, and music is everywhere, from funeral parade lines to tunes on the radio and songs from street buskers. Music is always lurking in the background, and every so often it rises to the surface, takes center stage, and all but takes your breath away with its defiant vitality. There's a very sad subtext to Tremé because one of its writers, David Mills, died suddenly on the set last week. He also worked with David Simon on The Wire and The Corner, and his script for episode 3 of Tremé, the first of his contributions to this series, ends with a funeral. But it also includes a lovely moment, one that typifies not only the grace of Mills's writing, but the beauty of Tremé and the spirit of New Orleans. It happens when trombone player Antoine, played by Wendell Pierce, is leaving a strip club after playing a depressing one-night stand there as a fill-in member of the house band. Outside, he comes upon a female violinist who is busking for coins. And even though he's too tired to blow his horn, he loves what she's doing enough to sing along. At the end of a bad night, the music remains redemptive.
Let me get some of that. All right, hold on, me and you. I need your love so badly. I love you, oh, so madly. But I don't stand a ghost of a chance with you. Oh, with you. I thought I'd last.
That moment sets a magical mood. But moments later, that mood is shattered in a surprising and disturbing way that leads to something else entirely. Tremé, from the start, is like one of those haunting classic pieces of jazz from New Orleans. Get one taste, and you're not likely to forget it.
David Biancooley writes TVWorthWatching.com and teaches television and film at Rowan University.
Ann Richards made her national debut back in 1988. That's when she made the keynote address at the Democratic National Convention. George H.W. Bush would soon be the Republican presidential nominee.
I'm delighted
delighted to be here with you this evening because after listening to George Bush all these years, I figured you needed to know what a real Texas accent sounds like.
2 years later, Ann Richards was elected governor of Texas, a job she later lost in a campaign against another George Bush. Ann Richards died in 2006 from cancer. Now, a veteran actress has written a one-woman show about her. NPR's special correspondent Susan Stamberg reports.
The name Holland Taylor is not that familiar, but you have seen her a lot, usually playing someone's mother. In One Fine Day, Holland Taylor, trying to reach her daughter Michelle Pfeiffer, gets George Clooney by mistake.
Hello.
Who's that?
Who's this?
Who's this?
Who's this?
Who's this? What are you doing with my daughter's phone?
Holland Taylor was Tina Fey's mother in Baby Mama.
You know, Kate, not everyone is as tolerant of your alternative lifestyle as we are.
Being single is not an alternative lifestyle.
It is when you're 37.
And right now on television, Holland Taylor is the mother of Charlie Sheen and John Cryer in 2 and a Half Men.
I think God gives us children so death won't come as such a disappointment.
Her characters are smart, witty, patrician, and so is Holland Taylor. She looks sort of like a short Katharine Hepburn, by the way. You can see photos at NPR.org. Now, off screen, she is developing another smart, witty character, Ann Richards, who was governor of Texas from 1991 to 95. One term only, George W. Bush beat her in the 94 campaign. Holland Taylor has become fascinated by the straight-talking Richards.
We must be vigilant. We must insist that the freedom that exists in this nation exists for a reason.
I mean, to get to be governor of Texas, which was the ninth largest economy in the world, and it is a macho state, and it was a Republican state. And when she became governor, she had to affect a stance of strength even more than was her own. She had to be unshakable.
Holland Taylor's devotion to this project seems pretty unshakable. She's turned a small guest room in her Hollywood Hills home into Anne's room. It's jammed with books on Texas politics and history, texts of Richard's speeches, newspaper clippings.
What are these ring binders?
Well, this is articles before governor, articles after governor. First, I did a huge effort of gathering. I'm still gathering.
Gathering, hunting, writing. Now she has to become Ann Richards, which means taking it from the top. A Richards signature was her beautiful big crown of hair. Taylor found a good wig maker.
And can you in any way make it whiter, more snowy? Yes, and shorter. I know you can cut it. Her hairdresser and others would say in Texas, you kind of have your hair has to match your rear end. And as your rear end gets smaller, the hair can kind of come down.
Hear that little twang?
Your hair has to match your rear end.
Texas, not so easy for an actress from Philadelphia. Her pal and one-time TV co-star Tom Hanks, they were in Bosom Buddies in the 1980s, recommended the dialect coach he used on Forrest Gump.
I just say whether. She goes, whether or what? Well, it's a very key sound. And when I do her, my mouth and my body is going to have to be in the habit of saying, why, when, what? I do not.
Taylor is developing the habit by listening to lots of Richard's recordings.
I feel very strongly about what the government is supposed to do as opposed to what the politicians don't do.
Holland Taylor says she's not really trying to imitate Ann Richards. She wants to evoke her with that snowy hair, the sass, the spirit, her deep compassion.
I was born in a little community just outside Waco. It was back then that I came to understand the small truths and the hardships that bind neighbors together. Those were real people with real problems, and they had real dreams about getting out of the Depression.
Ann Richards stood up for the poor, the rights of women, African Americans, Hispanics. Holland Taylor says what really drew her to the Texas progressive was Richards' profound sense of fairness.
This was just her essence. She says, life isn't fair. I know that. We all know life isn't fair, but government should be.
All right. There you go. Smile, honey. Look there. Smile, honey.
Political roles are not new to Holland Taylor. In 2001, she played Nancy Reagan in the made-for-TV movie The Day Reagan Was Shot.
I enacted a loving wife, and you have to admire that aspect of who she was. And so, like, when they're trying to take his picture and he's being propped up in bed and she both wants that picture taken because she knows that the nation needs to see it. On the other hand, she can't stand her husband being manhandled.
Honey, here I am. Smile.
Hello, darling.
Stop. Stop it. That's it. Mike, this is not going to work.
We're going to take a lot of pictures.
No, what about the machines?
Strong, gutsy women are Holland Taylor's trademark. In 1999, she won an Emmy as the provocative, sexy judge in The Practice.
This isn't about you getting a job, Kevin. It's about getting me.
Excuse me?
You're obsessed with me. Does your lawyer not know that? Probably getting aroused right now. Stand up, Kevin.
The thing that I loved so much is that you can be sexy at that age, and you can show a woman on screen.
That was fun.
Being like that.
It was fun. Yeah, I must say, at my age, I just turned 67, and it is a real, I mean, aging is, ugh, it's what a trip. As I say, ain't no going back.
Meanwhile, Holland Taylor's going fast forward to channel on stage a feisty former Texas governor.
Thank you very much. You did a good job.
Taylor's play about Ann Richards is called Money, Marbles, and Chalk, an old Texas expression for going all out. Holland Taylor thinks that defines Ann Richards. Her one-woman show debuts next month in the Grand 1894 Opera House in Galveston, Texas. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News.
And you can watch a no-nonsense lecture from Holland Taylor in Legally Blonde at NPR.org. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
Acclaimed TV writers David Simon and Eric Overmeyer are launching a new series on HBO Sunday called Tremé. It's set in New Orleans, 3 months after Hurricane Katrina. The story is told through the eyes of the musicians, chefs, and Mardi Gras Indians you'll only find in New Orleans, and locals are heavily involved in the production. NPR's Debbie Elliott introduces us to a few of them.
Venture just out of the tourist-packed French Quarter into the Faubourg Tremé neighborhood with its shotgun-style houses, and you'll find a character on just about every corner, and maybe a church or a bar room. It's that New Orleans that the TV show Tremé is trying to capture.
We on our way to the heart of Tremé. Oh, that's a new song. We on our way to the heart of Tremé.
Trumpet player Kermit Ruffins is showing me around in his big black pickup truck. Ruffins owns Sydney Saloon in the Tremé and invites folks to come by this afternoon for a big boil.
Y'all hanging out, huh?
Yeah, I'm coming down there.
Okay, we got the crabs and the potatoes and corn and sweet potatoes, asparagus, along with some good old leg quarters.
Ruffins and his mobile barbecue grill appear in Sunday's pilot episode. He's a co-founder of the Rebirth Brass Band and plays himself, as do other local musicians. This is one of the oldest African-American neighborhoods in the U.S., populated in part by refugees of the Haitian Revolution.
This little road takes us straight to Congo Square.
That's the plaza where slaves once gathered on Sundays to eat, play drums, and dance.
Congo Square is a heartbeat. America, as far as I'm concerned, because this is our only true art form was invented, jazz. I mean, it took those European instruments and mixed it with the African culture, and there it was, jazz. It's crazy.
Ruffin says he feels rooted when he plays his trumpet here. He hopes the HBO series will spark a jazz revival. Lolis Eric Eli is one of the local writers working on Tremé. He says it's significant that the show features a neighborhood long neglected by the city's elite.
They don't invest in it. They don't take it seriously. They don't respect it.
To have people like David Simon and Eric Overmyer come here and go to the heart of a community that is emblematically black and is also, in local terms, often considered an area of high crime and high blight is a hell of a statement about what is really important about New Orleans.
Some New Orleanians are concerned about how the city will come off in Treme, in part because there have been so many bad portrayals of New Orleans. Others have grown weary of the TV crews and traffic disruptions, but mostly locals are thronging to be a part of the production.
Hollywood South, how you doing?
Hollywood South, that's right here.
With all
Happy Bullets.
Karen Kaia Livers is signing up extras at Bullets, a bar where Kermit Ruffins plays on Tuesday nights.
Why not work in the place that you hang out every Tuesday?
Barbara Trevine signs up. She's excited about the show.
It's a good thing for New Orleans. For Louisiana. It's important people that's talking about the culture here. For all of the food, everything. It's bringing New Orleans to the world.
Some locals have recurring parts, including Phyllis Montana LeBlanc, who gained notoriety for her profane observations in Spike Lee's documentary When the Levees Broke. In Treme, she plays Desiree, the girlfriend of New Orleans native Wendell Pierce's character, trombone player Antoine Batiste.
It's easy. The lines that I'm reading, the episodes that I'm doing, it's like stuff that I might say to my husband every other day or so. My boyfriend is a musician, so I'm giving him hell. So I'm Phyllis. I'm Desiree, but I'm Phyllis.
We got bills to pay.
I'm trying, baby. What can I say, Desiree? I got a job.
Difference between a gig and a job, Antoine. You gotta get a job.
I got a job. I'm with Kermit.
That's a gig. Once a week, and it don't pay enough.
Another character is loosely based on New Orleans chef Susan Spicer of Biona.
She is younger, prettier, and a little saltier than me.
Jeanette Desautels is trying to reopen her restaurant after the storm. Both food and staff are hard to come by.
Where is everyone?
Pedro's running late.
Wardell?
Irene's. 10 an hour.
Dishwashing? Damn, things are out of whack.
One of the first things that I did when I went on the set the first time was the sous chef was chopping vegetables and he was going, you know, really loud and like banging in the knife. And I was like, oh no, you would not, you know, last 30 seconds in my kitchen with that racket.
Spicer believes Treme highlights an underappreciated side of New Orleans.
Street musicians and the, you know, just the people that make up this very, very interesting cultural mix, you know, and it's so much a part of what we were afraid of losing after Katrina.
Kermit Ruffins thinks that spotlight will be revealing.
Storm brought a lot of bad and a lot of good. Took the mask off everything. Everybody can see what the city was for, who was running it, and the corruption and the good. The reefer smoking musicians are so good. The politicians are so bad. They were telling us we were bad.
Ruffins hopes Treme will show the rest of the country what the truth really is. Debbie Elliott, NPR News.
Down in the Treme, it's me and my baby.